Salut, sunt Tiberiu de la First Down și alături de mine este Stan Bedwell, head coach la Bucharest Rebels. Interviul acesta va fi în engleză de acum încolo. Nu vor exista subtitrări, dar sunt sigur că vă veți descurca. Sunteți pasionați de fotbal american și ar trebui să știți destule engleză pentru acest interviu. Hello Stan, thank you for being here and asking and answering my questions.
No problem, happy to be here.
So, Stan, you've got a large resume in American football in Europe, and you've also coached in India, from what I understand, in Asia.
Yep.
So I wanted to lead with one question. You know, we've got a couple of imports this year also from the USA. So, how come you've gotten into American football in Europe? What was your journey?
In 2006, I was in college in North Dakota, and our head coach Jim Dotson had he was telling us one night about how he had went for one summer to England and did some camps there, and was talking to us about American football in Europe, which at the time I guess I had never thought about there even being football here. But whenever he said that, I started doing some research, and I found the Europlayers website, which at the time only had maybe 20 or 30 teams and, I don't know, a couple hundred players. So it was a very small website compared to where it is now. But, you know, I had never been on an airplane before and had definitely, you know, never been out of the country. So it was something for me that I thought would be a cool experience to do for one season, and you know, get to see the world, play some football. And now I was 21 at the time, and you know, now I'm 34 and still doing the same thing. So it's been a long season.
Great. So I see you've played and coached in Europe and also in Asia, in India. What are the main differences between India and Europe, and maybe India and Germany, because that was your last day before Romania?
Yeah. Well, India was kind of a unique situation, just because they were essentially trying to start a professional league over there, even though there was no amateur football there at the time. So they went through for about a year recruiting athletes from all different sports and got the best ones. And I think outside of cricket, it was the highest paid sport in the country, even though, you know, guys had never played. So they hired a lot of us to go there. And originally they hired 6 coaches to go there. And we went there, and every team sent their top 25 players to Pune, India, which is where we were based to start. And so they all sent their best players, and we basically, you know, got the guys that were a little bit fat. There's not a lot of those in India. But the ones that had some weight, we said, okay, you're a lineman. And then everyone else, we saw them. You know, I would have the quarterback, so all the guys would come with me and throw the ball, catch the ball. And if I saw a guy that threw well, I'd say, okay, you're going to be a quarterback, and I would teach him that. If the guy couldn't throw but he was catching well, then okay, you're on offense. If he couldn't catch anything, then you're on defense. And that's, you know, that's essentially kind of how we did things. But, yeah, so there it's a bit, you know, it's hard to compare that. But if I'm comparing Europe and America, I would say the biggest difference is just that in the States, everybody starts at a very young age. And, you know, it's common here with the Rebels. We have, you know, some guys that are 40 years old that just started playing 2 or 3 years ago. So I would guess in the States, if you play football, you start playing at 9 or 10. And in Europe, it seems like, you know, maybe the average age is late teens, 18, 19, 20, something like that. So guys obviously start later, and then the level of coaching here is, you know, not up to par as what it is in the States. You will get coaches from the States that come that have the experience, but, you know, it's a process like anything. And in every country, you know, going back to 2006 when I first came over, you can see the growth in every single league. And then, you know, you see new leagues. Like at the time, there was no American football in Romania when I first came over. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a It's a process, and I think that one thing that's really held back Romania a bit compared to some of the other Eastern European countries is that they didn't bring over imports for so long. And, you know, Serbia, who was quite a good league, things went really well there because they had a few ex-NFL coaches that had came over back in, you know, the early 2000s, and they brought a ton of gear over, and they were teaching the teams in Kragujevac and Belgrade, which is Vukovi now, the Wild Boars in Vukovi. They were teaching them, like, proper football from the beginning, where I can imagine in Romania it probably started with a lot of YouTube videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's where you really get the advantage in a place like Serbia compared to here, is just that there's been more exposure to Americans, and the people that really started it were very qualified to do so.
Okay. So another quick question about India. What happened to the league? Do you know?
Well, it was basically all set up that they were trying to really market the league, sell the teams, and you know, make it professional too fast, I think. Because what they did was they took all the teams and they flew everybody to Sri Lanka, and there was a big stadium there. And they played the entire season, every single game was on international TV. It was on TV throughout Southeast Asia. But, you know, they didn't invite fans or anything like that. The only people that were watching the game were the other players. So they had like their own little world inside the stadium. And the coaches for other teams were the referees for, you know, all of the games. Okay. And I mean, it was a cool presentation that they did. Not, if I remember correctly, they cut it down on TV to about a 1-hour show. So it'd be like pretty quick in between plays, things like that. But I guess it never really built a fan base because, you know, you didn't. In India, I think it would have been very easy if they would have just played in the local stadiums. They probably could have put 50,000 people at the games because there's just a ton of people. And, you know, if you tell them, hey, would you like to come sit down in the shade and watch people throw a ball and hit each other for 3 hours? And they'd be like, okay, sure. So, yeah, I think that maybe they were too ambitious and tried to do things far too fast.
Okay. And
from what I understand now, there's quite a big flag football league that they're doing through the universities with men and women, universities, high schools. So, who knows, maybe in the future it'll pick back up. But for now, I'd say ultimately it was quite a big letdown from what the expectations were.
Okay. So coming back to Europe, and you already started talking about Romania and American football in Romania, but you came here from after a GFL team. And to put it in perspective, GFL has its own TV network, TV something, and you're talking to me on version of free Skype in an interview for the Romanian market, which is a WordPress website, and two guys trying to live stream the ball games. So yeah. What happened there? What was your thought process into coming to Bucharest, to Bucharest Rebels? What can you tell me about those things?
Well, in Germany, that was actually quite a situation that was really blown way out of proportion by people that had no idea what was truly going on there. But essentially at the midseason, like in Germany, there's about sorry, my dog's here going insane right now.
Yeah, show us the dog.
This is Bobby.
Hi.
This is my son. But in Germany, there's about a 5 or 6 week break around July and July, August, a little bit of August. And we got to that break and, you know, gave the team a couple of weeks off for everyone to regroup. And when we got back, we'd set up a meeting with our management, and at the meeting, they essentially told me that they were moving our defensive coordinator to the offensive side of the ball, that we were basically releasing one of the assistants, and that we had hired a new defensive coordinator and another assistant, and none of that was ever talked about with myself or any of the other coaching staff until that meeting.
And you, so, you being the head coach of the team at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It just, it wasn't really something that I felt good about. And, you know, through the meeting, we just decided that maybe where what I was trying to do there and what their vision for the team was a bit different. So figured that it gave the team the best opportunity instead of us being split and arguing. It gave the team a chance to unify together if we just stepped down. And, you know, it was a tough situation. It's the first time I've had to do something like that, but I thought it was best for the team. And, you know, the president, Adolf Hosley, there, he was very supportive of the decision. And, you know, we still talk from time to time and really good relationship there. I think it was kind of built through a lot of people and rumors and stuff that there was big issues and that we either resigned on bad terms or that we were fired or something like that. And that just wasn't the case. But I found myself in Germany, and it was a bit too late to get to catch on somewhere in the States and coach college football at the time, because it was already in August and training camps had already begun. So I was just started looking for, you know, opportunities in Europe at that time. And, you know, in August, there's not too many because most of the leagues are already finished. And, you know, I was looking for somewhere to go right away and work. The Rebels were preparing for the Atlantic Cup in Paris, and so they were looking for someone to come in and play quarterback and help coach the offense. And I was quite excited about that at the time, you know, taking a step back from being head coach. As for most of my time in Europe, I've either been head coach or carried the role of head coach and quarterback. So I saw it as a chance to kind of step back, and at 34 now, you know, maybe not playing at the highest level, a place that I could really go and make a bit of an impact on the sport and on other teams, and, you know, still play football without getting killed by, you know, three big American linebackers every game.
Okay. So you haven't played quarterback in how many years, or?
Just last year was the only year that I've been playing before last year.
Okay.
I had 2014 and 15, I just coached because I had a surgery on my throwing elbow and ended up having to have two surgeries on that. So for those years, I only coached. But other than that, since 2006, I've, you know, played every season.
After years a more evolved part of American football in Europe, how did you find the Bucharest Rebels?
I would say that the biggest thing that I noticed is just the overall knowledge is quite low. And even the guys that feel that they know a lot about football maybe don't know as much as they think they do. And so, you know, just the basics, route combinations, zone coverages and defense, defensive line alignments, things like that are just things that guys really haven't been taught. And so it's, you know, my philosophy in coaching, I know some coaches that come to Europe and they say, okay, well, especially a place like Romania, they say, well, the knowledge isn't so high here, so we're going to keep it really, really simple for guys. And, you know, we're going to just teach like the basics. And my thought process on it is that, you know, we have guys that are doctors and other, you know, doctors or, you know, lawyers I've had, things like that. You got guys from all professions that are really, really smart guys, college professors, things like that. So I think that it's really kind of an insult maybe to the players if you have all of the knowledge and you're only teaching them the surface level. So one thing that I always try to do is come in and coach our guys just the same way that I coach players whenever I'm at the university level coaching. And so, you know, our guys are learning a college system here. And of course, it's a bit tough at first, but, you know, guys get better and better and they start to understand things more and more. And, you know, I'd say that at least on the offensive side of the ball where I've been primarily, our guys have gotten a lot more knowledge now than what they did when I first arrived. And, you know, that's the whole plan, is to keep moving forward and get more knowledge on the defensive side as well.
Okay. So what happened? You actually told me that, okay, so I wanted to be offensive coordinator and quarterback for the team. I wanted to make a step back from the head coaching job that you've been keeping. So I know from what you've told me, from what I've talked to Bogdan, that you are now at the moment the head coach of the team and also the quarterback.
Yep. Basically, we just thought, as far as recruiting players and also to reach our current players, it just makes a lot more sense with my experience to be in charge of things. You know, I thought that Alex was doing a great job previously, but, you know, he's got an extra member of his family recently, and he's quite busy with family things right now. So, you know, he didn't have the time really this year to devote to being a head coach. And, you know, it seemed like the proper move to do for the team. And honestly, not a lot has changed. We still practice the same. We do things the same. It's just, I have the title now.
Okay. So if you're the head coach, you're the quarterback, I presume you're also the offensive coordinator. Who's going to help you on the defensive side of the ball?
Right now, we've had Edward Bartz, who was former head coach of the Bucharest Warriors, plays defensive line for us. He's an experienced guy, and he's kind of took over in the preseason, helping run things on the defense. And then we have, you know, some experienced players there. Andre Enna has helped out a lot with the defensive backs. And, you know, we've kind of just been doing it as a group, but we are in the process right now of getting some help on the defensive side of the ball, coaching and maybe playing as well. So until that's all finalized, then, you know, Eddie will play a big part in it regardless for the season, and I'll help out where I'm needed.
Okay. So coming back to the offense, what's going to be the philosophy for the Rebels offensive under your tenure? I know from what we've talked, I've came to a couple of practices because of the flag thing with my team and all, and you've told me it's a pass first thing you want to implement. What you've seen since then, what's going to be the new strategy?
Double tight wishbone, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, run the ball every single play. Nope.
No, it was too fast. Okay.
I mean, I've basically, since 2008, I've been running the no huddle air raid system, and you know, throwing the ball about 70% of the time, and we're everywhere I went. You know, we adapt the system a bit to our personnel. So, you know, some places I've been, we base more out of two running backs. Some it's been, you know, four receivers, one running back. And last year in Germany, we were strictly five wide receivers. So the system stays the same, but, you know, we take it and adapt it to our personnel the best that we can.
So do you think that with the current personnel, current offensive line, receivers, everything, because I know that there have been some changes in at the Bucharest Rebels, and they've got a lot of new guys coming in. Do you think you can be efficient and productive with passing 70% of the time?
Of course. If I didn't think so, then I would be a pretty bad coach to still be running the system.
Okay. So I think
receivers is actually a position that can be developed quite fast, and we have some talented guys there, and they've gotten a lot better since I arrived last August. And so, yeah, I feel that might be our strongest and deepest group on the team is the wide receivers at this point. So those guys are doing well. We're okay at running back. We have guys that can run the ball, catch the ball out of the backfield, and they block well. And, you know, Jonathan Ashton, British offensive lineman, that He'd been with me in Hämeenlinna, Finland, and then came and coached my O-line in Germany last year. And we brought him here in October, and he stuck around. He's back this year, so he's coaching the offensive line. He knows the system and knows the expectations that I have for the offensive line. So he's done a good job there, and I think our players are really starting to understand the system. The problem is just getting that full group to practice. You know, it's we got about 8 or 9 offensive linemen, and never know which ones are going to show up, or you know, if it's going to be a different group, or sometimes there's not a full five. And so we've had to practice some of the defensive line guys there for depth, but they're understanding it too. We keep it pretty simple for the big guys. So I think we have all the pieces in place. And then we have, you know, in addition to myself, we have Adrian Lungu at quarterback, who's an experienced quarterback, and he's doing quite well. And then we have Andrea, a kid from the Warriors junior program, that is, you know, he's really talented, and I think he's going to be a good player in the future.
So not to spoil everything, but as a head coach of the team, are you going to go through different quarterbacks during a game, or are you sticking with the main one?
I guess we'll give the main one a shot first, but I definitely, you know, I don't see it at this point in my career. It's not a situation where I'm here trying to see, you know, how much stats I can get, how many touchdowns I can throw, and things like that. So, you know, when we get up in games, then definitely I want to get those guys in and play them as much as I can. And so, you know, I'll start the games, but hopefully we have a situation where we have a big lead in games and I can get those guys in to play a lot.
After you've got some friendlies, you've got you just came back from Poland, actually. Yep. What did you see in the games? Are you happy with the development with what you've invested and what you've gotten in return for the training since you've arrived here? How do you feel the team at the moment?
Yeah, so we took 24 players there, had 3 quarterbacks, and then only 1 guy at every other position. So, you know, 4 receivers, 1 running back, 5 O-line. So, and on defense, we actually had to play some of our receivers at DB to have enough there. So, ideally, we would have liked to have more guys, but a lot of our younger guys, which makes up a big part of our roster now, had finals this week. Okay. So they were either taking tests or studying for tests or exams. And for whatever reason, we didn't get to take the whole team. But, you know, on offense, I thought that the offensive line did very well. And, you know, all the offensive skill guys. I think the offensive players in general did quite well for the circumstances. We had some drops and things like that, but that's going to happen early in the year. I threw an interception, so, you know, I made mistakes too. It wasn't just our domestic guys. Defensively, we started really slow. They got some scores quick early on, but then as the game progressed, our guys settled in and we tackled a lot better, you know, the second, third, fourth quarters. And, you know, as a whole, I think that it was a really good experience for our guys. We got good practice, and for the situation, I think that everybody kind of expected it would be tougher and, you know, maybe a bit of a blowout. And, you know, into the third quarter, whenever I came out, I think we were up 20-18 and ended up losing 32-20. But, you know, on our side, it wasn't anything about the score. I mean, we, with our 16-year-old quarterback in, 17, whatever he is, 12, something like that, with our kid quarterback in, we went for it on like 4th and 40 and threw a screen.
Okay. And,
you know, got 2 yards on it, then they scored a touchdown right after. So it wasn't really – for us, it was just the experience, getting everybody on the field playing as much as we can. And it was a great experience for us.
Seeing this experience going to Poland, did you have similar experiences in other countries with that low of attendance, in going to other teams, in practices and stuff like that, or it's something different in other countries?
No, I mean, I would say that I mean, as far as like the trip to Poland, that's tough because you have guys having to go out of the country. So maybe that was a bit unique. There's not many teams that I think I've had one international preseason game in all the other countries I've been in. So that's not a real common thing to do. But as far as practice attendance in general here, I think it's okay. I want it to be better than it is, but I've definitely some of the teams that I've been with in Finland, Spain, Italy, those places, I think we've had far better attendance than half the teams that I've coached or played with. So it's not bad. I think you just have to build that culture of guys coming to practice and actually competing. From what I understand, in the past, and for a lot of teams in Romania, there's only, 20, 25 players. So guys are used to being, whether they're at practice or not, they're going to be the starting slot receiver or starting running
Starting,
back
yeah.
because there are no other ones. And so, with the combination of the Rebels and the Warriors, that's something the guys are having to do for the first time is to actually compete for playing time. And I think maybe that culture is not completely set in with everybody yet. And because of that, the attendance isn't where we really want it to be, but I'd say we get, if I had to guess, I'd say we average probably about 35 to 40 at practices.
That's
And
good.
when we have 25, I was just talking with Marco about this, with Daniel Marco about it the other day, that he said, yeah, there's 25 here now and we're going crazy like it's a nightmare. And he said, any other season, if we had 25 at practice, that would be, excellent. That would be a huge number for us. So I guess, we're getting there.
You said something about the philosophy of competing for the starting job, and you want to put it in place here at the Bucharest Rebels. How did you manage to do it, seeing the fact that you've got Warriors and Rebels that were arguing every single game? And you've got a team with a lot of old players and friends, and everybody's friends with everybody. How did you manage to explain and enforce this rule on the entire organization?
Well, I think that any time that you're, coach, if you're in charge of a team as a coach or, in the workplace, if you're the manager, then the first thing you have to do is really get to know the people that you are in charge of and, kind of find what works for each person. So, I think the fall, it was a big process for me of seeing what guys I could really scream at and, have like tough language towards and which guys I kind of have to, I guess, for lack of a better term, to baby them or, say, hey, you're beautiful. You're
Okay.
good. I love you. Things like that. So, it is understanding that is one big thing. And then, let basically from that, it's just, letting the players know. When I first got here, I said, I'm not, I don't know anyone from the Rebels. I don't know anyone from the Warriors. Now we're all one team. And if we want to reach our goals of winning a championship and eventually being a competitive team in Europe, then we have to let go of that ego and understand that the only way you're going to get better is by having a guy at your position that's just as good as you fighting you for the spot. Because if you're way better than everyone else, then you don't have anything really pushing you.
Okay.
So, for us, it was just realizing, or guys realizing that, and then understanding that, we have a certain way of doing things, and if you don't do it, then you're not going to be on the team. And there are a handful of guys that couldn't handle, that kind of structure and actually being held accountable for missing practices or for their attitude or behavior in the practices or in the, friendly games. So that's something that we're working really hard to change here. And the guys that are there, they're getting it. And the ones that don't like it, it's fine. They're not the type of guy we're looking for on our team.
Okay, so did you, because I've been refereeing for a couple of years here. I'm not refereeing anymore, but there was always that discussion that, okay, don't kick my players out, keep them in. I don't have that many. If they don't play, they're not gonna come to the team. If they're not gonna come to the team, I'm not gonna have enough players to play. American football in Romania is going down the toilet because of that, and don't kick my players out of the team. So you're just telling me that you've had to practically let go of some players because they couldn't adjust to the system. Did you ever had some fallback from the administrative side of the team? I don't know, Daniel or Bogdan or somebody telling you, okay, you gotta ease off a little bit because we're getting no more players to practice.
No, not really. I think that we're all basically on the same page for the vision that we have for the team. And when it becomes a behavioral issue, I think that maybe they're a bit tougher than I am about things, actually. The management has a vision for what the team, for what they want the team to be and where they see the team in the future. And, you know, I'm on board with that vision. And it's not about, you know, ruling with an iron fist or anything like that. It's just about having structure and having something that guys know that they know that there's a consistency and that there's actual leadership, that it's not a democracy where everyone has their say so. And I think that's been, you know, probably the hardest thing for a lot of the older guys to get used to is, you know, if I'm explaining this is how we're going to do something and they say, well, I've always done it this way, I want to do it this way. And, you know, getting them to the point that it's not an argument, that they realize, okay, there's only one way we're doing things, and, you know, we're all going to be better if we just do it the same way, even if their way is better than my way, which I'm sure they believe it is, and maybe it is, I don't know. But, you know, as long as I'm the head coach, then it's going to be my way of doing things, and no matter what, whether they're better or mine, if we're all doing the same thing and we're all going in the same direction, we're going to be better off as a team regardless, so... Yeah, you know, I think that the guys are really starting to get that. And I think that it'll show, you know, with the discipline during games and, you know, hopefully with the interactions with the referees and, you know, just the way we carry ourselves in general. I expect it to be a bit different than probably what, you know, you've seen from the Bucharest teams in the past.
Okay. So you're starting the championship in 2 weeks. Have you looked over the other teams from the national championship? What do you think of them? What do you think of your opponents actually in the coming weeks?
You know, Cluj is the defending champion, so you know, you have to respect the team that's won the championship. I got to see them, and you know, I watched all of the games that were on the First Down YouTube from last year. So I've got to see a bit of the level of the teams that played last season. And from what I understand in Cluj, not a lot changes there from year to year. It's, you know, same coach and same players, things like that. So have an idea of what to expect from them. I know that they're coached very well and they have some good athletes and, you know, they have experience there. So I would have to assume that that's probably going to be the biggest obstacle in the way of winning a championship. I saw some clips from the event at Timișoara this weekend. So, you know, got to see the 89ers a bit and got to see the Reșița. Did I say that right?
Reșița.
Reșița.
Yeah, Reșița. That's perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I got to see, you know, a little bit of those teams and, I think that, you know, they're different. It looks like the 89ers are really relying on their coaching from their American. But they're basically trying to, you know, move their guys around. They got their American head coach and quarterback. And so the offense is kind of built around him running the ball, throwing the ball. And then they have the two defensive players, and they use them some on offense from what I understand. So, you know, I think they're okay. I'm sure they're going to improve with the help of Americans from on the field to also the coaching and the knowledge that they're going to share with those players. Mm-hmm. I thought that Reșița looked I thought they looked quite good, the little bit I saw of them. Tough defense, and they run the ball quite well. And then Moresh, I've just seen the films from last year, and from what I understand, they don't have a whole lot of players. So, you know, for them, I'm hoping that they can get new guys and that the guys they have can stay healthy so that they can be competitive in the championship, win some games, and, you know, push for a playoff spot with the other teams.
Okay. We've talked a little bit at the field about you coming here in Romania with the hopes and some ideas in order to develop American football in Romania as a whole, not just helping the Bucharest Rebels. Last year, we've got Tim that also said, okay, so I'm the coach of the Bucharest Rebels, but if anybody wants me to help them with anything, I'm going to be there, I'm going to help them out. What were your plans coming in? What actions did you take, and what's your plan at the moment?
Well, one thing that I did when I first came is that I contacted the other teams, and I, you know, contacted them basically through Facebook, and, you know, told them that I was here and that if they needed any help with recruiting new players, I have a lot of experience with that, or, you know, just coming running camps, coaching quarterbacks, you know, doing anything that I can to help out every team here, then I'm happy to do it. And actually every team told me no. And I think that's a big problem from what I understand in general here. And I think it's within teams is an ego. And I think that carries over through, you know, some of the players within teams, but also carries over to the team as a whole. And I think that from what I've understood, there's been talks of having a national team, but that's never worked because the question is, okay, well, who's going to run the national team? And, you know, are they only going to pick players from their team? It's not going to be fair for the other teams, things like that, which I think is very, very detrimental to the league because you're going to add a level of, I guess, you're going to add a higher level in general in the way that people perceive football in Romania when you have a Romanian national team playing against other countries.
I
think with the same thing that carries over into the league, one thing I didn't know when I got here is that there wasn't really a set league with a president and things like that that is kind of ran more through all the teams. And I think that that's not a very good thing. I think that there should be somebody in charge, and in most leagues in Europe, it's very common that the president of the league is from a certain team, and, you know, you don't let him be a dictator of the league, but he at least is the guy that you look forward to and say, okay, this is what we need to do to, you know, help our teams or develop the sport. And I think that would be a huge thing, having a governing body over all the teams that, you know, makes the finals, has the final say so on things. So I think, you know, building a national team, having a set league, and then I think another huge thing is playing more football games. And I think that's a topic that I can probably go into quite a bit because I've had a lot of ideas about it. But, you know, there's when you have guys training for, I know our guys basically train year round. They maybe have a month or two off, and you train all year just to play four games. You know, it's just not much football for guys. And I think, and whenever you're speaking of the league now, right? If I'm in Bucharest and I'm talking about the sport to, I don't know, an American that I meet at some cafe or something like that, and I say, yeah, our four game regular season is about to start. Like four games, two home games, two away, then it's just so – it's hard to take a league serious as playing so few games. Yeah. And I think there's a few ways to go about it. You know, I think the most sensible way would be obviously playing a home and home, so you have an eight-game regular season for everyone, then the playoffs. But I also understand that some of the teams might not have much of a budget – and might not have, you know, enough players to last an eight-game regular season. And so I think one solution here would be maybe, you know, if there's three teams, for example, that let's say right now the defending champs, Cluj, and then let's say Cluj, who's defending champs, Bucharest, and Timișoara, who has three Americans. Let's say that we're maybe a different level financially than the other teams. I really don't know what their, you know, what anybody's budget is, but
it's an example. Just as an example.
An example. So let's say if our three teams, I gotta hold my dog here.
No problem. Keep the dog.
Maybe we can ask him his ideas.
Yeah.
But, you know, if our three teams have a better budget, then why don't we kind of have like an A and B group where our three teams at least play each other home and away? So that would be four games there, and then we play the other teams once. So that would be a six-game regular season at least. Then you take the three teams in the A group, for example, they make the playoffs, and then the other two teams, you know, for this year, for example, say if it was, you know, Reșița and Mureș, then you say, okay, whoever wins between you two gets the fourth playoff spot.
Yeah.
But that's a way that you at least get, you know, they're still playing four games. They're playing everybody once, but the teams that maybe do have the players and the budget, they get to at least play two more regular season games, and that gets you to, after playoffs, you know, eight games probably. And that's a lot more established. But I think coming up with ideas like that, from what I've understood, number of referees is a big issue for having games, that there's just not many referees in the country. And, you know, maybe in that way you look at saying, okay, and I think it's the same as far as where airports are. It's basically here, Timișoara and Cluj, is that right?
No, there are a couple of more airports, but they're not that popular. You only get the Tarom flights, which are very expensive. You know, you don't get the low-cost flights in many of the other airfields.
But, you know, maybe you say, okay, if there's two games every weekend, if there's five teams like this year, maybe I'm sure that, because I know from seeing games in Bucharest last year that there was maybe, I don't know, 50 people at games or 75. And I'm assuming for regular season it's not much different anywhere. So I don't think teams are really.
Cluj. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I've yet to see that. But so, you know, you say, okay, well, teams are not. I doubt that, you know, you take a team, say Mureș, if they're a small club, maybe they don't have a ton of fans coming paying a lot of money to watch the game. So maybe what you do is you say, hey, we're going to have every week the two games are going to be played in the same spot, like a doubleheader. So, and you have it around those three bigger airports, for example. So those teams, maybe they don't get a home game, but it's a chance to make sure that the referees are there. And by doing that, maybe you could play, you know, six games instead of four. I think there's creative ways to do it, but from what I understand, there's just seems to be a lot of opinions, a lot of egos, and a lot of people that are just going to vote opposite of someone else just because there's some tension there. And that's, again, where if you had a governing body that was in control, you wouldn't have that situation. So I think ultimately for the sport here to ever develop, like, you know, the better Eastern European countries like Poland and Serbia, eventually you're going to have to all come together and realize that just because, you know, if we're putting something together as a group, we're not doing that for one team to take advantage. We're doing it so that every team can benefit from it.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds fair. So you've managed. I'm sure that some of the teams were a little afraid of your proposal, as you know, as to not inconvenience anybody and to say anything at all, or maybe the teams didn't come together in that period of time, so they can maybe welcome you properly and have a full team available for you to coach.
You know, any team, even if it's Cluj, who are the rivals, you know, if they ever need help, then I do everything I can to help them out, whether it's financially or coaching or finding players or whatever. You know, I really want to see the sport grow here. So I will happily help out anybody that I can without some ulterior motive to benefit myself from it, you know, just to see the sport grow.
Okay. So besides that, what are your plans at this moment? Seeing that, what were the responses from the other teams and everything? What are your plans now?
As far as
developing American football in Romania.
Honestly, it's basically these things we talked about. Is you know, I was hoping in December to be at the league meetings when they went over the schedule and rules and things like that. And you know, I didn't get the opportunity to do that because had to get back to the States. And so, you know, hopefully next year that's something that I can be a part of, where, because, you know, I've been a part of, I think, 11 different countries, coaching, playing American football. And, you know, I've seen the leagues in Europe that are the, you know, very top. And then I've been a part of the leagues like Serbia. When I first went there, I think it was the third year they had helmets and shoulder pads playing. Before that, they were playing 11-on-11 tackle football with no equipment.
Okay.
And they had the league there for 4 or 5 years doing just that. But, you know, it's, I feel like I have experience and I've seen a lot and I've done a lot within the sport in Europe. So I think that if teams would listen, that I could really help and come up with some ideas that at least would get, you know, maybe be the spark that starts conversation between teams to get something to happen. So for me, I think that's the big thing that I want to do is, yeah, I think the one thing that they're doing really good here, the Warriors have a great junior program that they're running right now. And so we have, you know, a lot of kids. Some of those kids are coming up and they'll be playing for us this season and actually really helping us this season. So, you know, obviously developing youth, getting more money in the sport, marketing, sponsorships, and – yeah, just building up a league, building up a national team, and getting everybody to realize that it hasn't worked incredibly well over 10 years with everyone being split. So maybe if everyone would put aside their differences and work together, then you could see real growth in the sport here.
Oh, that sounds nice. Okay, so one final question for this interview. What are your plans with Bucharest Rebels for the championship? What are you expecting of the national championship this year?
I mean, I think I would be lying or just being really humble if I said that I don't plan to win every game and win the championship, because that's our plan, and I feel like we have the roster to do it and the coaching to do it. And so for us, it's absolutely championship. I think anything other than winning the championship would be a big letdown this year.
Okay. Another thing, I said it was the last question, but I forgot actually about something. What do you think of the initiative for Arena Football that's going on? I think you know something about it, or you don't know anything about it?
Oh, are you talking the 8-on-8?
Yeah, the 8-on-8, yeah.
I think it's great because, I mean, one improvement that I would have made with it is doing it 9-on-9 instead of 8-on-8, just because then you essentially take the tackles off and football basically stays the same as if you're doing 11-on-11. I think when you go 8, it really changes the rules and the defenses and the offenses. But in general, you know, what it does is it allows way more teams to play, teams that don't have very many players, and ultimately, that's a great thing, because I would assume that a lot of these teams that only have – I know, like Brashov, for example, if I said that right.
Yeah.
You know, they're a new team, and this year they might not have had enough players to do 11-on-11, but because of this, they still get to play, and they get that experience, and they get better, and hopefully more people in their city will see the team, watch some games, hear about it, read about it, and decide, hey, I want to go play American football too. Why not? And then, you know, maybe next year they have 30 players and they have enough to play in the 11-man championship. So I think it's a great thing. anything that has people playing football and open and raising the awareness of the sport is a great thing.
Okay. So, Stan, thank you very much for answering my questions. I hope you accomplish everything you want in your first championship in Romania, and we'll see each other at the interviews at the field.
Sounds good. That's what I'm about to do now is get dressed and go to the field for practice.
Okay. Have a good practice.
Appreciate it, man.
Ai ajuns la finalul acestui video și ai uitat cumva să dai subscribe canalului de YouTube First Down? Acum e șansa ta. Dă-i subscribe. E gratis.